Now, here's Chris.
Oh, what's up, Atlanta? Gloomy day outside, but not in the Kia Studios, because we got a full slate of college football coming your way starting now. And I'm excited to carry you through the afternoon, through the early games, and we'll be hanging out here talking sports until, put them up, E, the full four this afternoon right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Grant McCauley with a little Atlanta Braves insider action from the Diamond comes your way then. But here's what we get to do from, because it is, E, it's not looking too good out there today. It's going to be rainy. It's going to be gloomy. It's humid. It's not exactly a couple of weeks ago when it was 93 and sunny and we were bemoaning being, you know, trapped inside. Although we always love talking to you at 404-726-0929. But, you know, the days of the summer afternoon where, you know, you wish you were spending your time with the fam and friends outside, that's not today.
Yeah, I was thinking about you, even though I was fighting a little traffic. I was like, oh, my boy Chris, hope he got his umbrella and his raincoat on, his galoshes, whatever you wear.
Not the galoshes. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, no, I managed to avoid it. Looks like I'll probably be hitting it on the way back. But you know what that means, E? That means you nestle in, you get all your housework done early, you get your chores done, the honey-do list, whatever it is, you settle on in, and you watch about seven straight hours of uninterrupted college football. That's what you do on a day like today.
If that's the life, if you can do it.
If you can do it. Listen, man, but that's why, you know what the key is? You got to get up early. You got to get up early, whatever you got to do, go to the gym, do the honey-do list. You know, if you got kids, if you got to take care of them, make sure they get tuckered out, and then you settle in. You pull up on the couch. You got Alabama and Wisconsin about to kick off. Pretty good noon slate, honestly. You got Oklahoma State and Tulsa. That's a sneaky good matchup. You got LSU South Kakalaka going off, and that's a good Shane Beamer squad this year. That could be a big one in the SEC. If LSU loses again, they're essentially cooked at this point, right? And then you get when was the last time? Was it Matt Ryan? Is that the last time Boston College was this relevant, especially early in the
Matty
season?
Ice had him up to number two at one time. Yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
Was it Luke Kuechly? I mean, is that how far back we got to go?
They were the teammates, weren't they?
Yeah.
Quarterback and linebacker?
Yeah. And that's a great one. They're taking on Mizzou, who's going to be a good team this year. So that's your early slate. I'll keep you posted on all those games. But, man, oh, man, what a week it was here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. E, I never thought I'd be talking about pistol formations, shotgun sets, quarterback sneaks, quarterback play action pass as much as we did. And we did. We broke it down to a fine powder, got the chance filling in for C. Dukes, who's enjoying some bourbon ahead of Georgia and Kentucky tonight. He's visiting his daughter Trinity, so shout out to Carl. Hope you're enjoying. And please bring me back a fine bottle of whatever liqueur you so choose up there in the Bourbon Trail. Yeah, man, we just spent so much time talking about the Falcons and what they didn't do right and how the offense was a disaster and is Kirk 100% healthy and, you know, what should they have done in terms of their game plan, in terms of, you know, should they have included more play action pass? I asked Raheem Morris that directly, and he essentially said it had nothing to do with Kirk's health and just had everything to do with the game plan. Okay, I mean, you're telling me you're going to take away your quarterback's greatest strength and just try to run pistol the entire game? It just didn't seem like a good game plan. So is it injury? Is it Zach Robinson? Is it Kirk? Is it Raheem? Is it whatever? Whatever the case may be, it happened. So let's turn the page, shall we? Because it's Saturday. They play on Monday. Here's my question to you. I know I didn't think we'd be doing a gut check call after week one. But here we are. It's gut check call. Because if you go 0-2, 0-3, 1-4, I mean, it's going to be I know the back end of the schedule is very light, and that's why everyone kept saying all offseason, oh, the Falcons have such an easy schedule, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, but not the first 4 or 5 weeks. So gut check time, 404-726-0929. Do the Falcons rebound push everything off the table, fresh start, and look like what we all thought they were going to against Philly on Monday night? Or did what you see against the Steelers scare you enough to say that you don't have confidence in this team right now? Where are you at? It's one game, and we usually say slow down, and I agree for the most part, but it's not just about one game this time. If they had Carolina and the Commanders in the next 2 weeks, I think we'd all be singing a different tune, right? We'd be saying, all right, well, they'll get right over these next 2 weeks. They'll be 2-1, and we'll just carry on with the season, and hopefully everything starts falling into place. But when you have the Philadelphia Eagles in their building, when you have the Kansas City Chiefs coming to your house, and then you get the Saints who, you know, I don't think a lot of people expected much this year, but they looked damn good in week one, and they also kicked your butt last season. This was supposed to be the big revenge game, right, for punching it in at the end of the game last year. Well, it's not looking like that right now. But gut check time. Where are you at? 404-726-0929. Let's have an honest conversation about the Falcons today, shall we? Because what happened in week one was unacceptable, right? And we all know that. We all know the offense struggled. We all know Kirk Cousins threw two picks. And we all know it just didn't look like anything that we hoped. But can Raheem Morris, can Zach Robinson, and the staff, after what I would assume was a long week of practice heading into a delayed start, not getting back to it on Sunday, but having to wait until Monday. I mean, are you feeling confident that they're going to be able to bounce back? Because they present some of the similar matchup issues over the next 3 weeks that we know that the Steelers gave them in week one. I'm talking about pass rush. I'm talking about guys that are able to get up to the line of scrimmage and wreak havoc on the game. I'm talking about Jordan Davis. I'm talking about Jalen Carter. I'm talking about Chris Jones. I'm talking about Cam Jordan. I'm talking about DeMario Davis. Some of those guys that Falcons fans are very, very accustomed to over the last few years. Some of them, they'll be seeing for the first time. But we know how good Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter are. We saw it right here with our own eyes in our own backyard in Athens. So, yeah, I mean, it's just not, it's not in a situation right now for this team where they're in a favorable setting after week one. They really did not do themselves any favors by letting a game slip away that, quite frankly, they should have won. The defense played more than well enough to win. They held them to 50-plus yard field goals over and over and over again. I joked around and I said Chris Boswell became the second coming of Adam Vinatieri, because that's what he was on Sunday. Six field goals. So you should have won that game. And that game and the Saints game, I think, right, if you polled Falcons fans before the season started, right, and you said, if they go 2-2, is that acceptable? I think most people would have said yes. And I think most people would have said, in that 2-2, you beat the Steelers and you beat the Saints. And you're 0-1 in that category. So which of the two matchups is more winnable for the Falcons, right? I think it's this Monday. I do. I think this has to be the one that you go into Philadelphia, you shock the world, and you walk out of there head held high with a win. So 404-726-0929. Again, I didn't think we'd be here, but here we are. We're doing a gut check after week one, because if you go 0-2 with Kansas City coming into town, I just don't like your odds. I don't like how that sets up for the rest of the season, because the margin for error, like, you had a nice little stretch at the end of the season where you figure you could run maybe 3, 4, 5 wins in a row. That now becomes you have to win 3, 4, or 5 in a row, right? You don't get that margin for error. You can't take your foot off the gas pedal even an inch if you start 0-3 or 1-4 or 1-3, any of those combinations. Your margin for error now becomes essentially zero, especially if you lose to the Saints the first time around, because now you're creeping into division games. And what was the goal this season? To win the division, right? I predicted for them to win the division.
Home playoff game.
Exactly. That's what I predicted. I predicted the Falcons to win double-digit games, win the division, and win another playoff game. That was my prediction preseason. And that accounted for a statement opening victory versus the Steelers. And that did not happen. So again, as we kick off the show here today, I mean, it just needs to happen. It needed to be said, as we say on Dukes and Bell. It's time for the Falcons to have a gut check moment, yes, in week two. Not because it's week two, because obviously there's 15 weeks to go, but because of the way this game now sets up the rest of the season in terms of urgency, importance, because quite frankly, I just don't think you're going to get versus KC. I think that's a loss. So you need to win this game. So what is your opinion? How are you feeling right now? Can the Falcons do the improbable on Monday Night Football, go into Philadelphia, and come out with a win? What needs to happen? Do you feel like Kirk's going to get it together? The offense is going to play better? Are you expecting another big game from the defense? You think Bijan's going to have a breakout game? Drake obviously going to hopefully get more than two catches for 15 yards. Where are you at? Or do you feel like it's too big of a task? I'm here to talk to you about it. If you feel like the Falcons are in a position where they're just going to be overwhelmed in Philly, let's talk about that too and why you feel that way. We're having a little group therapy session 1 week into the season with the Falcons, because the way that first loss looked was, it wasn't good, man. And we've talked about it all week. So we're trying to move past it. We're looking ahead to the Philadelphia game. Gut check time. Week one in the books. Week two coming up. Do the Falcons pull the upset and go into Philadelphia and steal a game? Your calls when we get back, 404-726-0929. Chris Thomas, just getting started with you. Saturday afternoon, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Oh boy, look out. It looks like it's going to be a fun little early window here. How about South Carolina up 7-0 early at home versus LSU? They're here with their family in South Carolina. What's up, Brian Kelly? You got your team together or what? And some unfortunate news out of the Alabama-Wisconsin game. Tyler Van Dyke carted off already. That's not good. First quarter barely underway, and it appears that Wisconsin may have lost their starting quarterback for the game. We'll see. They just hit a chip shot field goal, but that's not good. So high drama early on in the window for the noon kickoff slate on this Saturday. Again, a perfect day to just nestle in with the fam, with your boys, with the girlfriend, to just settle in and watch college football all day long. I get out of here at 4. So I got a good couple of hours before I meet up with my lovely girlfriend, because she's not a college football fan, so we probably won't see much of Georgia-Kentucky, but you need to watch about probably 7 minutes of that one, E, before that one's over, because I think they're going to cover that 22 easily. I didn't pick them.
Seven, not nine, not 10, just seven?
Yeah, just like 7-8 minutes. They'll score a couple of touchdowns, and that'll be that. All right, 404-726-0929. We are starting the day off, though, talking Falcons. Joe Patrick's going to join me in about 15 minutes from now. But now I want to talk to you, because I didn't think I'd be sitting here saying gut check time after week one. But with KC looming, with the Saints looming, you can't get to 1-3, 0-4. And then you're really setting yourself up for a razor-thin margin the rest of the way. All right, let's start with Daryl in Noonan. Daryl, what do you think? Gut check time for the Falcons.
Yeah, I agree. It is definitely gut check time. And I've been a Falcon fan since back in Fulton County Stadium. And I feel like the signs don't look good for them to play or win in Philadelphia. Haven't won in Philadelphia in I don't know how long. I've got concerns about the organization spending so much money on Kirk Cousins, who reminds me of Matt Ryan in terms of mobility and a weaker arm. And I think they've wasted a lot of their top draft picks on poor decisions when they could have took Penei Sewell instead of Kyle Pitts. Again, we had a running back, and we go ahead and select Bijan Robinson. It's like we keep double down on players that aren't what we need. We need offensive linemen. We need defensive linemen. And we continue to ignore that. So we got McGarry at right tackle, can't block anybody. So I don't think they're going to have a strong season this year. I just don't see it. Everybody on the radio seems to think they got all this talent, but they keep getting beat on the line of scrimmage. The defense has improved. I do think that they'll keep them in some games. But Cousins has got to have more mobility. I'd rather see Penix play myself.
All right, Daryl, appreciate the phone call. Yeah, so Daryl's on the side of, you know, just a one-game sample, but didn't like what he saw. And listen, I get it. It's hard. Man, oh, man, oh, man. Mike Bell and I just spent 3 days on Dukes and Bell trying so damn hard to put positive spin on what happened. And, of course, you can talk about the defense. Of course, you can talk about it's only one game. But, you know, Caleb McGarry is just – we knew this, though, right? Like, we knew that he struggled mightily in the pass block, right? Where was Charlie Warner? I asked that to Coach Ra, and he said basically, yeah, I mean, he should be in there, so maybe he'll be in there this week, and we'll have a better result. 404-726-0929. Mike is in Decatur. Mike, gut check time for the Falcons.
Yes. Yes, it is gut check time, but not gut check for the reason that you're stating. First off, that offensive line was built for play action and zone blocking in the run game. So while we were in pistol and while we were in shotgun and being super predictable, that's all on Zach Robinson. Also, Kurt, I mean, if he's not healthy enough to play, what are we doing?
Well, they're saying he is. Yeah. They're saying he is.
I mean, you can tell us anything, but the eyes don't lie. That man didn't step into one throw. That's why he didn't have any zip. Also, why are we using Kyle Pitts in blocking when obviously he's never been good at that, and you're taking a playmaker off the board?
No, you're right, and that's exactly why I asked about Charlie Warner, because that's why you brought him in.
So my biggest issue is not with the personnel on the team. I think we have the pieces to win. It's the game planning and coaching. And if that last game was a huge indictment. Matter of fact, in the Miami game, they were running pistol and shotgun, and it didn't work for them either. So I don't know why they felt the need to get cute when Kirk Cousins is a play-action quarterback.
No, you're right. So let me ask you this. Do you feel like – I appreciate it. So I'll ask in the general sense. Appreciate the phone call. 404-726-0929. E, I'll ask you. Can they, in 1 week, make the necessary adjustments for the game plan to evolve enough that that doesn't happen again? Is that realistic?
No, it's not.
I don't think so either.
No. Yeah. And, you know, they've earned this criticism, okay? Not playing their starters in the preseason. We all tried to give them the benefit of the doubt. Guess what? They earned this criticism. Not coming out and saying, you know what, maybe he needs to sit for a month or so. He's not. We asked this man at 36 years old to come back a lot quicker.
9 months.
9 months than the average athlete comes back. I know these guys are superior athletes. These are pro NFL players. We asked this man at 36 years old to do something prior 26-year-old would have a tough time doing.
No, and you know, to his credit, I mean, this is not a humble brag. It's just we got to go to camp, and at one point I did get to stand next to Kirk Cousins. Dude shredded. He's in incredible shape.
Absolutely.
That's not the issue.
Mm-hmm, it's
the
not.
Issue is especially at his age, to try to get him. Now, the difference between being medically cleared and 100%, there's a gap there.
Yes.
So where is he along in that gap process? And that is what they'll never say.
No.
That's what they'll never say.
You're talking to someone who's been through Achilles injuries. I've never torn it, but I've had Achilles soreness and all kinds of issues. It takes time, especially when you're putting pressure on it that you cannot. I was listening to you guys, and you're going to replay the BMAC interview later today. There, you cannot simulate certain things in practice and reps and stuff. That stuff is only game time.
Exactly. All right, Cody's up next. He's in Gainesville. Cody, gut check time for the Falcons. What are we thinking?
Hey, what's going on, Chris?
Yo.
Man, I called in to John Frickie in like late July, and I said it's going to be the most Atlanta Falcons thing to let Arthur Smith come in here and beat us, and then we're going to go up Monday night and beat the Eagles. I hope that comes true, but, man, the way we played last Sunday, and you were the first to bring this up about the Saints after the Chiefs game. Dude, we could easily go 0-4, 0-5. We saw how Baker Mayfield looked. It's kind of scary, dude, because if we lose to the Saints and go 0-4, man, I might have to throw in the towel. And Kirk Cousins looks mid.
Hang on, Cody. I don't think you need to throw in the towel, but what I do think you need to account for now is you don't have that random middle-of-the-season loss you can afford anymore. You got to win all those games you should win.
Well, starting 0-4 and then losing to the Saints would really hurt pretty bad. But and if Kirk Cousins is healthy, hopefully he was just rusty and he's not actually just mid and getting older, because that would really be terrifying. And then also the defense did really good, but no one's talking about A.J. Terrell getting cooked out there constantly, and we just gave him all that money, man. But that's all I got for you, man. Hopefully we go up there and get a dub, though, so we can be optimistic the rest of the season.
Yeah, I hope so, too. Appreciate the phone call. Good stuff. 404-726-0929. I will say this. There's been a lot of hype made about how A.J. Terrell got cooked by George Pickens. Guys, he had 80 yards. I mean, he didn't go off for 150 and three tutties. I mean, yeah, did A.J. have his best game ever? No, but I think that's a bit of an overreaction, if we're being honest. 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. Listen, man, I don't think it's an impossibility that they go out and beat the Eagles on Monday night. But you need to see significant, and I mean significant, improvement from the offense. And Ian and I were just talking about it. Can you expect significant improvement from a week-to-week basis? I don't know if that's fair, but can they do enough? That's like, when you say significant improvement, it needs to be to the point where the offense can function. Because let's be honest, the offense didn't function against the Steelers. They just didn't do anything that they were trying to do. From a run standpoint, from a passing game standpoint, Allgeier got three carries, and he was averaging 7 yards a carry. I asked Raheem Morris, you know, is he going to be bigger in the game plan against the Eagles? And he said, essentially, yeah, if we can execute, you know, like if we can get to a point where his number is able to get called. But you know, they had to keep feeding Bijan because it was sort of desperation mode at that point. It was sort of, you know, all hands on deck, just give our best player a chance to just essentially just try to go make a play. And he did a couple of times, but nowhere near to the standard of which we're used to seeing. So that's why it becomes a gut check game this early in the season for the Atlanta Falcons. Because, again, 0-2 with the Chiefs coming into town, I just don't think you're setting yourself up for a position to win that game either. Like, the Chiefs are the standard in football. They're, right now, the talent gap, the gulf between, you know, head coaching and everything in between is pretty wide when you're looking at the Kansas City Chiefs and the Atlanta Falcons. That's no knock on us, but, you know, Andy Reid has become one of the best coaches in NFL history when he teamed up with Pat Mahomes. They got three of them things. Atlanta Falcons don't have any. So you got to just look at what's in front of you, right? And then the Saints, I mean, right now, I don't think the Falcons would be favored or should be favored in that game. We'll see how the Saints, if the Saints can back up what they did, if that wasn't a fluke, if that wasn't just because they were playing the worst team in the league, that's scary, man. You got to play them twice. And they punked you last year. I'm just saying, like, when you look at the totality, I tried to do the research before the show, but I couldn't. It's a very specific stat. I don't know, E, if you have time when we're doing an interview or something, maybe you could look it up. How many teams in the NFL have started 0-3 and made the playoffs? I bet you it's a very small number. So desperately, You need to avoid that. I bet you the number of teams that started 0-2 and made the playoffs is maybe not as equally small, but pretty small too.
Well, that used to be the threshold, 0-2. They would always say, well, if you start 0-2, your chances decreased dramatically. Now that there's a 17th game and an extra team in the playoffs, you have a little bit more of a percentage, but still, 0-3, you are really behind the eight ball. The only saving grace for these Falcons, if we start 0-3, and God, please don't let us start 0-3, none of them are conference games or division games.
Right.
If we start 0-3 and we can by some miracle beat Tampa at home, 1-3 with 1-0 in the division is a whole lot better than 0-4, 0-anything.
Right, and that's essentially what we're desperately trying to avoid here. 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. I'm just saying, man, it just becomes a desperate situation. It just becomes a desperate situation to say that I'm sitting here looking at a franchise that we all thought had deep, let me say that very specifically, deep playoff expectations. I came on here a couple of weeks ago and was saying, who are the Falcons definitively worse than? And I said, just the Niners. Now, after that offensive showing, am I going to take it back? No. Because again, it's 1 week. We can't jump ship. That's not happening. I refuse to let that narrative get formed. That's not happening. But what we're talking about is the start that you need to get off to hit those goals. And it wasn't just that you lost, it was the way you lost. But hopefully on Monday night, they went into the lab this week and they got a good game plan coming up and they could take it to the Eagles in Philly. A guy who's been on the beat all week, our good buddy Joe Patrick. He'll be up in just about 5 minutes to answer all those questions and more. So you don't want to go anywhere. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. All right. Jack Robinson spoke about it. Kirk spoke about it. Let's hear from a man who heard both of them speak about it. Let's head out to the Wade4.com hotline. Welcome in, Joe Patrick. Oh, Joe. What a week it's been, huh? What a week it's been. Let's start here, my friend. We finally got to hear from Kirk, not on the Rich Eisen show, talking to the media in Flowery Branch, and we got to hear from Zach Robinson. What were your biggest takeaways from what they both had to say after that less than stellar offensive outing versus Pittsburgh?
I mean, there's nothing you can say after that happens that's going to, like, make people feel better about it. You know, it's just like one of those gross performances, and I think that maybe if there's anything that would make you feel good about what was said, it was that Zach Robinson came out and just said straight off the bat, like, this was, I take accountability for this, you know, for all the issues that we were having operationally, which is the kind of accountability that you want to see. And I know even last year, someone close to my family was very frustrated with the way that accountability was or was not taken, especially by some of the players. But you know, listen, they just got to get back on track this week. They know that. You know, I think there are some interesting, you know, conversation points that we can go down in regards to the scheme or whatever. But regardless, you know, when you look at the tape, it's execution and it's putting your players in a position where they can best succeed. I think that both of those were areas where they did not successfully accomplish those things against the Pittsburgh Steelers. They got to get both of those right if they want to have any chance against the Eagles.
I got to ask Raheem Morris point blank, Joe, why wasn't play action in the game plan and should we see it more moving forward? And Raheem, to boil down, you know, a 2.5 minute answer into a second or two here, is just he didn't feel that was a smart maneuver, however you want to call it, to make because of the way Pittsburgh's able to get after you in the backfield and having the quarterbacks back turned in that situation. Essentially, the question then becomes, do you buy it, Joe?
Yes and no. So let me explain. What I buy is that there was an idea that they didn't want to do some traditional play action things against this front because you know that TJ Watt or, you know, Alex Highsmith or any of these guys can really just win one-on-one on any given play and really cause a problem for your quarterback that I think that they are trying to protect and limit at this point in time the mobility. But with that said, you can obviously run play action out of like a pistol where it's not, you don't have to really kind of fully turn your back, or at a shotgun, you know, where you don't have to turn your back and you can still kind of freeze defenders. But the other thing about this, and where I, you know, it's not like to give them credit because it, part the reason why is because the offense was struggling so bad. But in the second half, especially when the team was down, they were just creating too many negative plays, whether they be by penalty or by, you know, just a bad execution. But that continually put them behind the chains where to a point where like a play action pass isn't going to hold anybody because you're not expecting a run at that point anyway. So, you know, there were some circumstantial things. Oh, and by the way, you know, I can't remember if it was Zach or Kirk who said this, but he said that they checked out of play action opportunities, you know, five times. Take that for what it's worth. That's what they're saying. Regardless, you've got to be kind of more diversified in your offense. And I think that frankly, it was kind of embarrassing for, you know, all these guys to answer to some of these questions with some of the tendencies that they showed in this game.
Talking all things Falcons with our buddy Joe Patrick. May slip in a United question or two at the end, Joe, because I am wondering your take on a couple of things, five stripes, but we'll get there in a few. When it comes to Kirk, you got to see him this week. I saw video that you posted of him taking play-action maneuvers in practice, which to the chagrin of Falcons Nation, how did he look to you, in all honesty?
I mean, he's looked to me like the way he's looked for the past few weeks. And I think that there was some more noticeable and substantial progress that happened from like the end of OTAs to then kind of where he was in the beginning of training camp. And obviously we had kind of a 6-week break where we didn't see him. So maybe any progress was more noticeable to the naked eye. But to me, he's looked relatively similar really for the majority of training camp, especially the back half. And that is a player who is not like obviously a great athlete, even by, you know, a quarterback standards and like a, you know, a pocket quarterback standards. But having said that, like, you know, they've been running stuff from under center during training camp. Like, it's not like they can't or won't do it. I think that they're just in a spot, especially early in this season, where, you know, they want to do some things to help protect him. And the pistol is part of that. And Zach Robinson said, and Kirk said, when he came in April, like they had a plan to, you know, run this pistol offense that they kind of, you know, I kind of consider Kirk Cousins almost like a a colleague of Zach Robinson when it comes to, you know, how they're actually executing this offense. And obviously that needs to get better this coming week and in the weeks to come. But, you know, I don't think that the pistol took us up by surprise, just the fact that it was exclusively used. I don't think that it necessarily means that Kirk Cousins couldn't do something under center. Having said that, I don't think that they're going to deviate from this. I do continue them to still do a lot of stuff under pistol, in pistol and shotgun. I do think they might get under center a little bit more from time to time, but I think it will be something that's sprinkled in similarly to the way that we see other offenses sprinkle pistol in. But, you know, we're seeing the Rams do this as well. Sean McVay, they went a lot pistol heavier last year, and then they've shown even in the tendency in the first game against the Lions, they went a lot more pistol than they ever have before. So this could also be kind of like an ideological thing of the way that, you know, things are trending under that kind of schematic design.
This week, I'm much more worried about the interior pressure from the Eagles than I am the outside pressure. Drew Dolman, to put it politely, I don't think had his best showing against the veteran Pro Bowler Cam Hayward. What can they do to make sure that Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis don't wreck this one?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know because, you know, pass rushing comes down so much to just, you know, solo wins. But to your point about Dolman and, you know, obviously McGarry had his issues last week as well. But, you know, this is a Falcons offensive line that is statistically very good in certain areas, and they are statistically below average in a lot of areas. And when we talk about the offensive line as a whole, we often think about them as one of the better offensive lines in football, especially under Arthur Smith, because he kind of helped build that offensive line, and he really kind of understood how to model his team and design his plays around what they were able to do well. And I think that that's another thing that kind of had people kind of soured on this whole scheme after that first game was, you know, you just didn't see them kind of, or actually you saw them exposing the Falcons offensive line and making them do a lot of what I think a lot of Falcons fans understand is kind of what they do worst, which is naturally, you know, natural drop back pass protecting. That means no play action pass, just a straight drop back. That has not been what this team has done historically. And it's, you know, it's just not what these offensive linemen are as good at doing as they are at some other things. And it goes back to your question about play action we were talking about earlier. That's why you feel like you want to really not just sprinkle that in, but make it a staple of your game, because Kirk Cousins has shown a propensity to, you know, he's been one of the best play action quarterbacks currently going in his career. And then that's how this offensive line has also operated. So it'll be very interesting to see just how much they kind of deviate from the scheme that they drew up for the Steelers, which, you know, admittedly, they admitted it was like kind of very, very specific to the Steelers and just how good that defense was and how much they wanted to respect it.
Very different wide receiver room matchup this week for the DBs of the Falcons when you got the likes of Brown and Smith and Dotson and Goddard and Saquon out of the backfield. Quite frankly, Joe, I'll put it to you matter-of-factly, is the cornerback room ready to handle those big three?
Yeah, I mean, again, we'll find out Monday, but like, you know, I do think that obviously this is a much, much, much different test. Though I think it's as different, with personnel wise, with just the amount of talent that the Eagles have in all those skill positions, as it is scheme wise with what Arthur Smith wants to do versus, you know, like the way Kellen Moore kind of sets up his offense. Now that's a little bit different. I think that they're going a little bit more toward the Arthur Smith or, you know, McVay, Shanahan style versus what they were doing under Shane Steichen, which was like solo shotgun. But, you know, I think that obviously it presents a challenge and they're going to give up more yardage, especially through the air. But Chris, I think that actually this matchup, while they're very likely, you know, they're going to give up more points, they're going to give up touchdowns and things like that in this game because it's a better offense, I think there is an opportunity for turnovers like there was not in that first game, despite the fact that you might think that Justin Fields is very turnover prone, which he is. You know, Arthur Smith protected him a ton, and just what they ended up running, there was not that many opportunities for this defense to kind of make that game-changing play. And I think that Jalen Hurts is a guy who is going to spread the ball around because he's got all these options to go to. And he's, again, he's in his first year under a new offensive coordinator, a very good one, but sometimes you can see quarterbacks just make the wrong decisions at some of those moments. And, you know, they might play really well, you know, 95% of the dropbacks, but if those 5% of dropbacks are actually picked off, that could change the flow of a game. And it's something that this defense, the coaches and the players have really been talking about this week, that they want to, it's really kind of grinding their gears. You can tell that they lost that turnover battle 3-0. So there is, I think, an opportunity for them in this game, despite the fact that it's obviously going to be a huge challenge.
How was the vibe and the mood this week at the branch?
You know, it was a little, the guys seemed like focused. I wouldn't say they were definitely like quieter, just like kind of in the locker room. But you know, I felt like guys are still like determined. You know, I'm like walking past Kirk Cousins in the locker room, and he's sitting there with his playbook and he's talking to Darnell Mooney. Literally, I could hear him like going over a play. I don't want to repeat any terminology I was hearing, but like you could see that they were like, you know, working through something. So, you know, these guys are really professional, and you know, they're not going to, you know, like the coaches will always say, like ride the kind of ups and downs of the season. But I think that with a quarterback like Kirk Cousins, who's kind of the model of that kind of, you know, long-term professional behavior, knows how to prepare, you know, doesn't change his process based on the results, I think that's, it's important for this team to have that kind of leader, especially on the offensive side for a lot of these young skill position, you know, pass catchers especially, who I'm sure they get more emotionally frustrated when they're not able to contribute to wins. I think that it helps knowing that they've got that veteran under center who's going to give them another good chance to win the following week.
All right, before we wrap up here, as we're talking with our buddy Joe Patrick, Falcons insider for 92.9 The Game, post-Boca Negra era for United, what do you foresee happening over the next couple of weeks and months?
I think this is going to be a really interesting last few weeks. Put aside the, you know, playoff implications and whatnot, because honestly, I don't think even a lot of Atlanta United fans are, you know, I guess if you ask them, yes, they want to make the playoffs, of course, but there's like very little hope that they would be able to do anything, even if they got there. And there's just, you know, there's not obviously an understanding that this is not like a championship caliber team at this point in time. But I think it really is important in terms of how you're going to be setting the table for the next season, not just for the players who are obviously competing for jobs and kind of want to show themselves to the new front, I guess you could call it a new front office, even though, you know, Garth Lagerwey is taking over on an interim basis. But, you know, I think that there's a lot for the fans to also take note of with some of these players. And obviously you've got a new designated player who came in, Alexei Marinchuk. And so how does his qualities and how they're different from Thiago Almada kind of influence the players around him and make people maybe feel differently about what players are going to work well with him in the long term, because he really is a centerpiece to this team. And then I know for the front office, they're obviously using this time to evaluate, but they're also getting busy on kind of the budget sheet. And that actually, they made a move yesterday right before roster freeze happened to change a designated player off the designation off of Steven Gregerson and onto Bartosz Szlich. And what that is going to end up doing, because of a lot of accounting that's done in the background, by doing that, they're opening themselves up even more room to work with this coming off season. And it's really going to be a wild ride from the end of this current season till like February of next year when next season starts. They're going to be able to add two DPs most likely to this current group without having to sell anybody, as well as a bunch of capital to go out and spend on those players, as well as other players for the roster. Really, really important weeks to come for this club overall for the long term here.
Can you make a significant change in 1 year's time? Could they be this year, this time next year, Joe, could we be talking about a top 3-4 seed in the table?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's the story of MLS is it's like kind of one of those not for long leagues where it's really hard to keep championship teams together. And it's also, you know, it's actually harder to kind of build up your team because you have to do dismantling. It's kind of like the NBA. It's like when you get the bad contracts, you got to like spend some time to get rid of those. But the good news for LA Knights is they have gotten rid of those. The frustration has been they haven't been able to replace those players and they've had to get rid of some of the biggest contracts as well. But they are in a stage where they are building. We obviously saw kind of the first step with Alexei Marinchuk, this transfer window, but they're ready to add more. And I think that, you know, that's going to be the kind of fully loaded arsenal we expect going into next season to be able to shoot for a championship and have a core of players that are going to be here for a long time to come.
Appreciate it, Joe. We'll talk to you again next week. Hopefully we are talking about a W. Praying we're talking about a W. We need a W, Joe.
It'll be therapy, nonetheless.
Yes, exactly. All right, we'll talk to you next week. That is our buddy Joe Patrick, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Falcons Insider. When we get back, I'll let you hear from the horse's mouth. We haven't heard from him yet. What did Raheem Morris have to say about the game plan against Watt? What they can do to get better? About Kirk? You want to know what Raheem had to say? I'll let you hear it next. Don't go anywhere. 1 hour in the books. Three left to play on a gloom and doom Saturday afternoon. Just from a weather standpoint, ton of great college games going on for you to sit down and watch. I'll fill you in on those as well when we get back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Odyssey app.